Now, today we are going to begin our series of teachings I said, and I've been saying for a while we are going to do, so it's really beginning today. And I titled it Faith Basics. What did I call it? Faith Basics. And the reason is because there's a word you see Paul use once in a while, and that's the word establish. People should be established in their faith. People should understand what their faith is about. Do you understand? And I discovered something, and I don't mean to be critical about this. It's just a matter of fact. In contemporary Christianity, you know, we don't do much of that anymore. It's not, and I wish it was, because we have so grown that we don't need to do it. So, as believers, we must be established in our faith. And there is no, you hear the scripture says that if the foundation be destroyed, there is nothing that the righteous can do. And, you know, I personally perceive that there's a lot of foundation not being laid in Christianity in this day and age, all right? We tend to be more concerned about the principles of success. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to explain. We're more concerned about the principles of a happy marriage, the principles of how to find a good wife, the principles on how to make money, the principles on how to do things. Meanwhile, the most important thing is to lay a foundation for our faith. I hope you're getting my point. The foundation for faith is what is most important. So towards the end of last year, I began to feel in my heart that we should return to that and lay very solid foundations. All right, and the foundation is simple. That's the knowledge of the Word of God, the foundational Word of God. For us to be established, we must have an understanding of what our faith is about. That's just what it is. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, so today we are going to start our series, Faith Basics. And like I told some of us before, please, I'm sure you are going to be blessed, all right? You're not going to get bored. You're going to be blessed, all right? There are a lot of things that people do not know, and I'm sure even those of us who felt we knew it before, there are so many things that we still can learn. All right, can we open our Bibles as a beginning today to the book of Colossians chapter 1? Now, I'm going to read a long portion of that Colossians chapter 1. I would like you to follow me very closely. And I'm sure you are looking into your Bibles and not admiring my face. All right, I'm going to start reading from verse 9. And in verse 9, before verse 9, Paul introduced himself and he described how he heard the news of the faith of the Colossians. And he said, because of this, verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, that you may be strengthened with all power, verse 11, according to his glorious might, for the attainment of all steadfastness and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, as I go on, I'm going to highlight some words, and I would like if you can write them down, so that in case I forget to comment upon them later, you will remind me. The first word I want to highlight there is the word inheritance. Everybody say inheritance. Inheritance. All right. So let me read it again. It said, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13 says, for he delivered us. Now this is how we came to the position where we could share of that inheritance. The reason he said is because he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, the words there, please notice the word domain of darkness. That's the next word I want you to notice. What is that? Domain of darkness. I'm using the New American Standard, so it might be slightly different from yours. In your Bible, just note what it says there in verse 13. It says, he delivered us, another word delivered, we should note that, from the dominion or the authority of darkness, and transferred us into the kingdom. The next word is kingdom. Please repeat that after me. Kingdom, all right? The kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. Please say that, redemption. Redemption. Now, these are foundational words of Christianity. That's why I want us to understand them. They are foundational words. You see words like inheritance, words like the domain of darkness, transference out of that domain of darkness into another word, kingdom. All right, you see the word, all right, redemption. And it said, in whom we have redemption, verse 14, and that redemption comes to us because of the constitutes the forgiveness of sins. Now, verse 15 says, he is the image of the invisible Son, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, that's Jesus Christ, all things were created. both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. The Bible says in verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, that is the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. Please, you notice something he's doing in the last few verses, from verse 15 to verse 18. He's magnifying the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling us of the importance of his person. One thing I want us to understand here is that if you notice, we don't often emphasize Jesus Christ in our teachings these days as preachers. We say many things, but don't emphasize the person of Jesus. There's a reason why Paul was doing this here. And the reason is because once Jesus is formed in you, every other thing is added unto you. Please, I want you to understand that. That is the most important thing. You see, as we go on, Paul emphasized the reason why I was saying in verse 27. He said, this is the mystery that has been hidden for all the ages. He said, this is the glory, he said, which is the riches of the glory of this mystery amongst the Gentiles, verse 27, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, what am I trying to emphasize with that? From that? Just like Paul was trying to emphasize, that if we contemplate the person of Christ Jesus and become transformed into his image, you will discover that many of the things we are pursuing in life are not necessary. Let me say this again. This is what Christianity is. I said this when we were talking about the fruitful life then. All right? That how Christians get results. I said life has different spheres. Can you remember that? That there are different spheres of operations in life. Now, what science tries to teach us is as if the sphere of operation of mankind is limited only to the natural sphere. All right? That is, the reason why you are the way you are is because of your genes. In fact, the reason why you are a criminal, if you are a criminal, is because you are genetically criminal, you have a genetically determined criminal tendency. All right? They try to limit everything to biology, as if human beings are not different from cows, all right, or from birds. It's just that we have a bigger brain. So one day I was watching a program on, I think, National Geographic or Discovery, and they were describing some animal rights activities, and somebody was talking, a man who is a typical normal human being, all right? He eats meat and all of that. So he went to go and visit with some people who are vegetarians. So along the line they were discussing, the vegetarian woman asked him something that, you are saying that if we're in distress, for example, you will rescue me before you rescue your dog. Are you getting my point? That the house is burning, I'm in there, your dog is in there. All right? That you rescue me before you rescue your dog. The guy said, yes, for goodness sake, that's what I'm going to do. And the woman said, why? He said, because you are a human being. I mean, why should I rescue a dog before I rescue a human being? And the guy said, and the woman now told him that, but he's a member of your family. Do you hear what I said? That is, you rescue the dog first, because Bingo is a member of your family. Now, you are getting what I'm going to explain. You should rescue the dog first, because Bingo is a member of your family. The guy was alarmed, like, what's wrong with you people? I'm not saying you must eat animals, but please don't tell me that animals and human beings are not the same things. Now, that's when we look at life on the natural sphere. All right? Everything is determined by how much you enjoy yourself. You know, I was listening to Nicolas Sarkozy, all right? The French, is it president or prime minister now? Which, anyway, the big boss of France, anyway. You know, he gave the opening speech at the 2010 World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. And I said, oh my God, I want to get a transcript of this man's address. It's so insightful. The man was describing what capitalism has come down to. That is, we sacrifice the security of tomorrow on the altar of pleasure for today. I said, that's how animals behave. Once it makes money, he said, you discover that speculators are now making more money than investors. Are you getting my point? That entrepreneurs are now making less money than speculators. That is not right. That you have to reform capitalism. But what I noticed was that the man kept on emphasizing that, why do we want to destroy tomorrow? Because of what we're going to get today. That's how animals think. That's one sphere of existence. And so if it feels good, it's all right. Do you understand my point? If it feels good, it's okay. That's what to live by the natural realm. All right? To be fleshly minded. All right? But there are other realms. I don't want to go into that again. We discussed it before. The highest of the realms, all right, is the realm from in which the law of the spirit of life, which is available only in Christ Jesus, operates. That is a realm that makes a man that's supposed to be dead live. And they said, why? He said, because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in his mortal body. And if Christ is in you, by that spirit, he will give life to your mortal flesh. So when you were supposed to die, you wouldn't die. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain here. That is, you choose the realm you want to live, all right, in life. You want to live by the natural realm, or what most people think, you live by the, let me use the word, the soulish realm, the realm of the intellect. You think that if you're very smart, you'll make it in life. You understand my point? So you, and I'm sorry to say this, the church is coming down to that level. We are coming down to that level because that's what people want to hear. All right? I was discussing with the doctor this morning, all right? And he and I were talking. I said, he was describing some things to me, certain procedures that some doctors use. He said, it's not best for the patients in this environment. He said, but patients are always asking for it. They're always asking for it. He said, so sometimes you bend, all right, to their wishes. And I turned to him, I said, in Christianity, I call that the building of calves. He stopped. He said, sir, what do you mean? I said, Aaron, yes, after Moses went to the mountain, when he didn't see for some time, that Moses began to build a calf for the people. Aaron began to build a calf. I said, why? Because the people demanded it. They said, we don't know what's up with this Moses. Find us a God that we can see. So after plenty harassment, I'm sorry to say, a lot of pastors are like Aaron now. They've been harassed into doing things they don't believe in and they don't think are right. And I keep on saying, I am not going to build a calf for anybody. This is what people like. They did not call me into ministry. I always say that those who listen to me, which one of them did I discuss with before I agreed to start preaching? I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. And this is what people like. If you do like this, everybody will come. I say, I'm not begging everybody to come. I'm looking for the avenue to output what God has placed inside me. Are you getting my point? What am I trying to say? People want to hear the principles of success. You want to teach them all kinds. Now, I'm not saying those things are wrong, please. I'm trying to explain something. When you want to learn physics, go to school. If you want to learn business methods, go to a business school. When you want to learn how to walk in the realm of the spirit of life, you want to learn how to walk by the resurrection power of Christ Jesus, go to church. Forget it. I won't drop that power. Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. If I want to know how to make money, for my goodness sake, I go to a business conference. Even church can organize it. This is a business meeting. Are you getting my point? So we businessmen will gather together and negotiate on, okay, how do we pressure government into reducing custom? That's different. All right? But when we are in church, what do? We look for how to step into a realm of life from which the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is being released. From where God is commanding the blessing. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? From where we release the resurrection power of Christ Jesus, which Paul said he wanted to know. Please get my point. It's very vital. So Paul was explaining this principle that we must learn, all right, to go, we must learn to settle in that particular place. Focus on the things that are in the heavens. He said this is how life becomes victorious for you. It's when Christ is formed in you. Not when you learn the methods of doing things properly. It's when Christ has been formed in you. And the center of Christianity, Paul said it like this, that I have desired to know nothing amongst you apart from Christ and him crucified. I don't want you guys to remember me for any other thing, that I taught you the principles of knowing Christ and him crucified. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Faith basics, that's what we are going to. I went to all of that to explain something, that life has different realms, and as believers, you should focus on connecting with what? The realm, the highest realms, the realm of the spirit, from where the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is operating. And that's what we are going to see. And when we are studying these things, what we are doing is laying the foundation so that we can be found in it, firmly established, and we are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. In fact, I told my wife, I said, this is how I need to do this teachings. I was watching on TV, and somebody was describing how the sins of your grandfathers, all right, can hold back your blessing. And I told my wife, I said, look, I don't like to hear this thing because it's not true. You are talking to people who are redeemed. Of him are you in Christ Jesus. That's where you come from. You are of God and you have overcome. That's what the Bible says. You are not of your grandfather. The problem, why we keep on saying those things, is because we have not yet learned the rudiments of the gospel. We have not yet learned where Christians come from. We are not operating in the realm of the spirit where the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is dominating. We are still trying to network with common spiritual realms. I'm sorry to say, I see it a lot on TV. Sometimes you get angry with Christian TV and you turn off your TV. Everybody wants deliverance from something that's not plaguing them. If anybody is delivering you from the curse upon your grandfather, you are lost, he is confused, and you had better stop that nonsense. Christians being delivered from the curse on their grandfathers? What kind of joke is that? Listen, God, your connection with God is through Christ Jesus. You say, are you saying the sins of the fathers don't matter? It does when you step out of the spiritual realm that God says you step into. I've heard all kinds of stories. People are analyzing the sins of their great grandfathers. And that is the reason why they are not succeeding today. Arrant nonsense. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, including the sins of their ancestors. What am I going to explain? Let me just get back to my message. I'm getting carried away. So Paul was saying something here, that he was exalting Christ Jesus. And I'm saying that that's what we need to do. Paul was exalting Christ Jesus. He said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, and by him all things were created. That's verse 16 I mean right now. Both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. Why was he explaining this? That whether it is thrones, devils, witches, demons, whatever it is, they are subject to Christ Jesus. And he said in verse 27, if that Christ is in you, then that is the hope of triumph. That is the hope of victory. That is the hope of healing. That is the hope of prosperity. That's the hope of fulfillment. That's the hope of everything you may ever want in life. In summary, he says the hope of glory. Let me just continue. We stop somewhere around verse 18, right? Okay, let me just continue from verse 19. I'm not very sure where I stopped. He said, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him, that is Christ Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Another thing, everybody, right? Say after me, blood of his cross. But notice, if you are noting it down, we are going to talk about the blood along the line. I like to say it all the time. All my enemies, the blood of Jesus. That's arrant nonsense talk. Are you getting my point? Shouting the blood upon your enemies is rubbish talk. So I was saying, so when you are shouting the blood of Jesus against your enemies, you have missed the purpose of the blood of Jesus. It is not for the defeating of the enemy, it's for reconciliation of all things unto himself. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? What about your enemies? Don't worry about them. You know, I told you about building calves. People, you know, let me say this. I know I'm getting distracted, but I will say it. Part of the problems, there's one man, he came to our church to preach that time. I was blessed by the things he taught. He said he studied even postgraduate level. What he talked about, mythology. He said the Greeks had their own myths. The Africans too had their own myths. Now I want to adapt something that he said to what I'm saying now. All right? That part of the problem of Africans is the myth they carry. So this is what I want to say. We carry those myths into Christianity. Are you getting my point? So you go to a village where everything is caused by a witch. A man he puts fire beside the straw of his roof and is cooking. The house catches fire. He says he's a witch. We do things that are utterly stupid and foolish, and we say they are witches. You know, yesterday my wife and I spent hours. I was telling Chinny Doom just now. We spent hours because she was doing accounting for Kingdom World books and then our Kingdom World publication and everything. I answer question, I tire. There are times, Chukubike is not around now. She called Chukubike in Lagos to ask questions about some things. Do you understand? How did this one go? How did this one go? Trying to put things together. When I said, you see, this is why a lot of businesses fail. That many people don't bother to do this. Are you getting my point? They are doing business, they don't know how much is coming in, how much is going out, what their expenses are, they are just spending money. Even Enron learned that trick of accounting. For those of you who know the history of these recent American problems, Enron stopped recording for the public their expenses. They just decided discussing only their turnover. They will make turnover of $10 billion at the cost of $11 billion. But they won't tell you about the $11 billion. They say, turnover at $10 billion. What am I going to say? We do a lot of that. Our businesses won't do proper accounting. When it collapses after 2 years, you say, it's my stepmother, she's a witch. So when a man wants to make merchandise of your soul, you know what he does? He offers you from deliverance, not from your foolishness, not from your stupidity, but from your stepmother. Are you seeing my point? Nobody wants to accept that I am the problem. I did not do accounting in my business. That is the problem. It is my stepmother. It is my mother-in-law. It is my grandmother. It is all kinds. It has to be a poor woman who, oh my God. Somewhere in the village. Because she's not educated, she's a witch. All foolish Galatians, they will gather money and give to a jobless so-called prophet who will travel with them to the village to go and cast a witch out of a tree. If you are involved in such nonsense practice, in fact, let me not even talk to you again. You're not on my business. But you notice that it doesn't work. You've noticed now, all the deliverances they've offered you, how many of them have produced anything? Your business has only gone from bad to worse. Do you know why? Because your problem is not the witch. Your problem is simple accounting. Bookkeeping. You're running big business in the year 2010. You don't have computers. You want to? There's no witch that computers wouldn't take away. You don't need blood of Jesus for that. But when men, they don't want to be responsible. The lie that he tells, the cheating he cheats, that's haunting him. He doesn't want to admit it. It is easier for him to say it's somebody else's problem. So a calf building Aaron shows up and says, I have come with a special anointing to cast away all the witches and all the grandmothers and all the stepmothers that are against your business. Last year you saw them, this year you shall see them no more. You hear the amen, the roof will go off from the vibrancy of the amen. Why? Because human beings just love to be irresponsible. That day my wife and I were talking. She was getting angry about some things going on in the body of Christ. And I have gotten angry before too, until a sword dropped in my spirit. Until a word dropped in my spirit that my people love it so. People love to be deceived. Tell them the truth. No. Tell them that, bro. Prosperity takes time. No, they won't agree. Today, I give a special offering. Tomorrow is my breakthrough. One brother sold his head and he got a hood. No, rubbish, nonsense. Tell them that first of all, God puts an assignment in your hands. And you will remain faithful with that assignment sometimes for years. I'd like to tell the story of Kenneth Hagin, who for 12 years, his age mate, listen, be careful. That word, they tell you age mate. His age mates were making waves all over America. Gathering tens of thousands of people gathering around their meetings. All of them fizzled away. Some of them at the age of 38, they were dead. At the age of 40, some don't hear of them anymore. For 12 years, while that was going on, Ken Hagin was going from one small church to another, teaching faith basics. You can have what you say. The Lord said, if you will ask and you will believe. And how many people are there? 20, 40, 50. He will finish preaching, they will give him an honorarium, $100. And that was breakthrough for him. 12 years before God told him, okay, enough. He now stepped into organizing small conferences and stuff like that. This is the point I want you to understand. His mates, in quote, were growing big when he maintained his ministry small and he kept on growing. Now, listen to me. He finally died at the age of about 88. And which continent? That man didn't travel much. I'm not aware he went to more than 3 or 4 countries. Only came to South Africa, in Africa. Went to, I think, America and Canada. I'm not sure he stepped anywhere in South America. But till today. I mean, any Kenneth Hagin book I see now I don't have, I buy. And I can say it boldly. Apart from his daily devotionals, there's no book of his that I have not read. None. 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 It's affected my life. Affected your life. If I'm affecting your life, do you understand my point? And you've heard me say so many times, go and buy his book, he will bless you. Why did I use that one to tell? What story did I use that one to tell? You see that prosperity or breakthrough or success, it didn't come overnight. It did not come overnight. But every little boy, he's 22, he wants to give one single special offering and break through tomorrow. The breakthrough you need is to wash your father's car regularly, iron his clothes. The breakthrough you need is to help them sweep the gutter in your neighborhood. The breakthrough you need is to see one private school that can't pay too much. They are trying to get off the ground. Help them teach. You're very good in mathematics. So what's wrong with teaching arithmetic to secondary, primary school children? You are looking for a breakthrough. You want to drive a car. To where? You're not. Look, cars are for people going somewhere. You're not going anywhere. My people love it so. They want sharp, sharp, quick breakthrough. Today. Listen to me. That is the difference between God and the devil. The devil is the one that goes around offering things today. God will say, walk before me and be perfect. I will bless you. I won't tell you when. That's it. Walk before me and be perfect. I will bless you when? Don't even ask me. Don't ask me. I have told God this year, shut up. You've told him for 10 years, nothing happened, 9. The problem with our lying testimonies is that we said, I told God this year, and then it came to pass. You forgot to tell us for 5 years before that. You were telling him every year. Nothing happened. Nothing. Now make it look like this year I realized. After that special breakthrough night, I suddenly told God this year, listen to me. I've told you, be careful about testimonies. Read the word of God. Is that okay? The Bible says, when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain on the earth. A man has been filling his clouds for years. Finally, he pours forth rain. He said, that year, I told God this year. The guy has been telling God this year for 10 years. Eventually, 1 year we jail now. If really he's working with God. But what happens, I would like to tell romantic stories. I keep on saying it. That's the problem with Christianity. Romantic stories. It's hard to say, I just kept on sewing that cloth. And I was in that shop for 5 years. And I was believing God. And I was doing what was right. I was improving my skills. After 5 years in the same shop, one day I got a bigger offer. And I moved to one level. Like I was telling my wife yesterday, I don't know whether it was by revelation or by just had understanding. I said, in life, you probably will have like only 3 major leaps. Your life will not always go up, up, up. This is how it goes. It goes almost flat, but consistent. Slowly going up. Then suddenly God opens the door. It jumps up. Jumps up. From where you were doing turnover of 10,000 naira, you increase to 15, to 20, to 40. Then suddenly from 40, you just go to 400,000. They start increasing gradually. You'll be like that for years. The ability to wait patiently is the major problem people have. They want to hear that today. I know those who tell the stories, they like to lie. Because it moves people when you color it. I was into one man talk on TV. He was trying to raise offering. You don't blame him. That's what they do. God forgive me. I don't mean to be critical. But it's a fact. But because God has given me understanding, I was following the story. Then one day I gave this money. Not to spoil. I was following the story. Then one day this happened. My music began to sell. I said, did you notice that all the while he did not tell us he was singing? He was only telling us about the offering he was giving. Did you notice that? All the while, he didn't tell us how many hours he spent practicing his piano. All the while, he did not tell how many places he went to sing without collecting anything. All he was just saying that, I gave 20 naira here, 15 naira here. Then one day, the door just opened. Then my album sold. I said, bro, did you know what? Up to this point, you did not tell us you were singing. Why don't you teach young people? Their brethren, there are times you will sing for 10 years and nothing will happen. Don't stop singing. Why don't you teach young people? There are times you will do this small business and you continue like that for 10 years and nothing will happen. Go and read the stories of people like T.D. Jakes. Read the stories, proper stories, oh, not the one somebody picked from here and there to use to excite you. The full story. You will know how many years he spent counseling women before he wrote, he preached woman that was loose. The full story. Not the half story that makes it look like the man suddenly woke up one day and became very rich. go and check his age, you know that is your father's, that man is your father's age mate. I don't mean that's a joke. It's probably about 60 years of age. Because you see him jumping and jumping. He's not a small boy. He's not your mate at all. Some men who have been serving God for over 40 years. Boys want to wake up one day, copy two or three acts of the widow of Zarephath, and suddenly become T.D. Jakes. And people who want to defraud you will tell you it is possible. Hear me? When it does happen like that, there are exceptions, not the rule. I've not gone into my message. I don't know who carried me into this one now. No, we must be established. That's where I'm going. We must be established. We must be established in the foundational truths of Christianity. And let nobody make merchandise of our souls because of our own covetousness and our inability to wait. Let me get back to my message. Oh, all right. I was talking about Christ Jesus. As I talked about the blood of Jesus, verse 20, he said, through him to reconcile, that's the Father's good pleasure, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He said, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. When you see the word death and see the word blood, all right, they mean about the same thing. Let me quickly explain. He said the life of the flesh is in what? The blood. The word death refers to the shedding of that blood. Are you getting my point? All right. When he talks about it, he's talking about the shedding of the blood. He said, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Did you notice that this blood was not shed for your enemies? They were shed for who? For you. In order to present you holy and blameless before him with beyond reproach. And this only happens if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. That is, God has a plan, God has a purpose. Where he's going is the presentation of yourself before him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And this only happens if you continue in the faith. Firmly established, that word established, can you see there? And steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, and which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. He said, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's affliction. Now, let me just stop here. I'll read the rest later, because if I continue reading now, I'll keep saying a lot of things. I may not get to the main thing I want to say for today. All right, let me stop here. I was going to get to verse 29, but we'll continue that verse 29 maybe next time. Now, why have I read all of this? I said you should notice a number of words. Can you just remind me of a number of them? The first one, I said inheritance. Can you remember that? Then after that, we picked another word like what? Power of darkness or domain of darkness. Then we talked about the kingdom of his son. We talked about redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We talked about what else? The blood of his cross. All right. Okay. These are among the important things that we must explain as a foundational knowledge, all right, of our Christianity. Now, let me start. In fact, what I wanted to title today's message, let me see whether I still appropriate, is man, past, present, and the future. I'll summarize a number of things in it. Now, I want you to understand something. One scripture there, verse 16. He said, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. For all things have been created by him and for him. Everybody say, for him. That is Christ Jesus. Now, please get one point. No matter the noise that people make on this earth, God's purpose in Christ Jesus will still be established. Are you getting my point? We live in a country like Nigeria, where you will hear all kinds of stories. How Islam is thriving. And they are planning. Listen, Islam is just the current threat. You know, when I was young, you know the threat? Was communism. You know, when people go around interpreting scriptures, sometimes they make me laugh. Apparently they've not looked around long enough. As a young believer, when I went into the University of Benin and I began to attend Christian meetings, I was hearing teachings, and people talked about the end of the world. And you know, then a communist nation was supposed to be the Antichrist. Do you understand my point? Russia was the big Satan, as far as Christians were concerned. And all the messages, even Brother Yonggi Cho, who taught us to pray for 27 hours nonstop, he did not even have the faith to believe that communism wouldn't take over everything. I don't mean that as indicting the old man. I honor and respect him. I'm trying to tell you the power that communism wielded that time. He had a pre-recorded message in his church. Now, was I there? No, he wrote it in a book. I read it. I couldn't believe my ears. He had a pre-recorded message for the day that the North Koreans with the Chinese and the power of the Russians with them will invade South Korea again. He said, I know I will be the first person to go. And he recorded final instructions for his church members that it will be broadcast on air. All right? All of them will get instructions and then they will all disappear because he knew he would be the next to go. And I asked myself as a young man, why didn't this brother teaching us to pray and pray and pray have the boldness to pray that that wouldn't happen? You want to know why? Because of the power that communism wielded. Russia was to be feared. Once, a brother was preaching, and I was there teaching about the end of the world. And he explained, listen to this, that America will become a communist nation. And somebody asked a question that he could not see how that was possible. And he explained to us that all things are possible. Now, this issue I'm trying to bring out. At that time, communism was so powerful that people thought that is the main problem the church will have. This is the interesting part. Thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. Communism went down one season. And it was like a joke. And all the prophecies changed overnight. Instead of communism, it became Islam. Did you notice? You've not been watching TBN. Brother Hege has not preached to you recent times. That's why you don't know. Listen to John Hege. Suddenly they have changed. Iran and Iraq. While we were watching, Saddam Hussein died. They removed Iraq and became Iran. I said, brethren, relax. You know why God didn't bother telling us all of those things in details? Because of one single fact. All things have been created by him and for him. Listen, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Listen, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. He said, why do the communists rage, and the Muslim nations imagine a vain thing? He said, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. That is for all the kick. Communism kicked and kicked and kicked and kicked. What happened? They died suddenly. Now, are you getting my point? Communism kicked until they died suddenly. God looked at Paul. He said, why are you kicking against the pricks? I like the way the Yoruba man says it. He said that the egg that gets angry and jams the rock. What happened to it? Egg. Say, this rock, I will show you that you are not the only one here. Guru, 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 boom, against rock. They just fry you, chop you on top of it. Listen to me. Anyone who exalts himself against the knowledge of Christ Jesus, hear ye the word of the Lord, he will fall. People make noise. Islamic nations. I said, Dubai will yet again become a desert. Like this. You never go Haiti. Watch Haiti on TV. I'm not even sure saying that God come. Now one small danger they pass. Go Indonesia. Look, and don't forget, all this Dubai, they are on the shore. You understand my point? God will raise one single small average tsunami according to heavenly standards. And all the goods you paid for in Dubai won't arrive again. So let nobody, don't be threatened. This is, look, I like what Archbishop Desmond Tutu told the apartheid regime in South Africa. he told them that the purpose of God will always be established. And that no matter what you do, the best way to prosper in life is to follow what God is doing. He said, apartheid, as far as God is concerned, has come to an end. So he said, guys, just line up. Was it not proved right? That's the Christ Jesus we are serving. Long ago, I couldn't even believe it as a young believer. He said, Jesus will come quickly and take us out of the great tribulation. No, he never said so. He says, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for thy feet. Jesus will not leave heaven to come back to this earth until the church has overcome all his enemies. That's the Christ Jesus we are serving. He's not a running away person. People say the world is so bad, we are going to heaven. That ain't nonsense. The world was bad before you came. He said the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Then God said that is in trying to correct it, the final thing he put in there was a man. Go and complete the restoration of the earth. So the earth is bad. He said, arise, shine, for your light has come. Darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the peoples. What's the big deal? That's the reason why you are here. That's the reason why you are here. That the world is bad. No, Jesus is not coming back until he has made all his enemies. Inflation, communism, Islam, anything that rises up against the knowledge of Christ, until they have been made the footstool for his feet, he's not coming back. I'm trying to explain what Paul was saying in Colossians chapter 1 here. He was teaching his people. Just like Desmond Tutu said to them in South Africa, that you guys line up with the winning team. Are you getting my point? That's what Paul was explaining here. That's why he described the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please bear that one in mind. I think it's just so important I emphasize it. Now let me take the words one by one. First and foremost, I talked about inheritance. Now let me say something here. Okay, I'll put all of them together. Redemption, inheritance, and forgiveness of sins. Maybe I should start with forgiveness of sins. That's where we start from. First and foremost, I would like to define the word sin. We are talking faith basics. I didn't even think I would talk this fast and this high tempo. I wanted to go step by step. I think I have come down now. Okay, maybe next week I'll slow down very well. All right? But let's lay a few foundations. Forgiveness of sin. Let's start with that. First, what is sin? We'll not waste too much time reading all the stories that we know already. The book of Genesis. You know how God created mankind, all right? And placed man in the garden, formed the woman out of the man, and he gave them dominion over everything. And we know how Satan tempted the woman, and she fell, and her husband followed her into transgression. And God began to pronounce judgment. I said something there concerning the judgment of God. Let me just quickly read something out. That's chapter 3. Don't bother opening to it. I'll just read it out to you. I want to just read what God said to the woman and the man. No, let me just read the one on the man. He said, then to the man, verse 17, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. And let me just stop here. All right? Let me read verse 19. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now, I want to quickly explain something here. Why I read that portion of the scriptures, all right, is to bring out an issue to us. That's curse on Adam. That God made a statement. You must understand that God understands the laws of life. He created the laws of life. So when he told Adam, cursed is the earth because of you, he was not angry. I don't know whether you understand my point. Now, the way we react sometimes, something happens, you're on the road, all right? Somebody jams your car. Before you know what's happening, you have come out and you started boxing each other. Why? Is it because the boxing is a natural consequence of a dented car? No. Is it because the boxing will redeem the dent in the car? No. But because you are angry and you cannot control your temper, God does not ever react like that. That's the point I'm making. When God said, cursed is the earth because of you, What he was saying is that by the laws of this creation, if a man buys a Sony equipment in United States of America and they say plug it to 120 volts and he brings it to Nigeria and plugs it to 220 volts, what happens? It burns. Is it because Sony is angry?
Is it because NEPA is angry?
Is it because NEPA is angry? No, because the simple principle is that this thing is made for 220 to 240. You have plugged it into it. So it burns. Not because anybody is angry, but because it is against the law of life. When God spoke to Adam and said, cursed is the earth because of you, what he said was simple. That you have done something and the natural consequence is what you are about to experience. What is sin? Sin is when you operate laws different from that which God set in place. That's what sin is. Sin is not that I'm angry. Are you getting my point? Go and read. I want to just give an example. Let's take polygamy as an example because there's something about sin people don't understand. Sin is not always morally, societally wrong. I read you the scriptures. God has never, ever, ever said it was okay for a man to have more than one wife. There are times he simply overlooked it, but he never said it was okay. The chief polygamist, I don't think anybody has matched that bubble since. Brosolo. Brosolo married 700 wives and how many concubines? At the end of the day, he said, I have discovered that there's nothing better than for a man to rejoice with the wife of his youth. One wife. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you something about Christianity. Christianity is what liberates you into operating the right laws and enjoying them. I was telling my wife the other day about women's liberation and all of that. I said, there's no religion on earth, all right, that has made women free like Christianity. There's none. It's not possible. Traditional African religion didn't do it. Islam, you know what I mean. You know what they did. The man can walk with his face open, but you must cover the woman inside the casket. Then some people now took it to the extreme and said, no to religion. No, no, we don't believe in God. Then they degraded the woman completely. The men would dress nicely, all their parts covered, then they parade the girls half naked on the road. Are you seeing that? When you reject God entirely, what happens? One day somebody was getting angry. That women, why do we do this to ourselves? That now we're going to pose naked to sell even coke, we'll pose naked. To sell tire, spare tire. You wear one long skirt, then cut it from here. The women were very angry. I said, you see, when you reject God, that's another religion in itself. All right? And that one puts you again in bondage. I'm bringing that an issue here. All right? That it's only in Christ Jesus we unite ourselves with the true divine order for life. And when I say divine order now, I don't mean the order that God likes. I mean the order that is right. Please, are you getting my point? There are ways that things are supposed to work. When you work against the way he made them to work, it's called sin. Sin is not about anger. Like at a vex. Now just disobey me anyhow. Sin is that when I give a word, that is God, I am giving you a word that's the proper order for life. When you go against it, you enjoy yourself. Are you getting my point? Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. In simple terms, we say it's disobedience. What is disobedience? Because you see, the law of God, the instructions of God, are actually the manuals for life. Are you getting what I'm saying? The instructions of God, they're actually what? The manuals for life. So when you disobey the word of God, you have gone against the manual for your life. And what happens? You blow up. So when God is passing judgment of sin, it's not out of anger. I just vex. I'll shoot somebody. No. Cursed is the ground because of you. Because of this thing you have done, you have released powers into the earth that makes things go wrong. They upturn the normal order of things. You know, Paul talked about the power of his resurrection. When Jesus died and rose again from the dead, he also released a kind of power into the earth. So what Adam did by disobedience was to release a kind of power into the earth, and everything went upside down. Suddenly, when you plant rice, the one you did not plant grows faster. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You clear the ground. Didn't you clear it? You removed all the spare grass. Did you not remove them? You removed everything. Then you planted corn. 3 weeks later, the ones you did not plant, they've overgrown the one, the ones you planted. Wahala. Let me tell you the truth. You know what it means? Cursed is the earth because of you. Disobedience, you know, hey, let me say something that just make you laugh again. I watch news a lot, what's happening in the world, and when I hear global warming, I start laughing. Then one day somebody analyzed, I love Farid Zakaria of GPS, Global Public Square on CNN. I think it's the columnist in Time Magazine or Economist, one of the two of them. Now, the man said something once that made me laugh. He said, have you change the bulbs in your house, going green, going green, going green, going green. After I analyzed, he said, if you have done that, let me tell you something. He said, I have news for you. He said, you have been wasting your time. His reason, he analyzed what China is doing. For every gram of carbon you save, they release 100,000. So don't just worry yourself. But one man now analyzed that if the whole world was to go in a particular direction and use electric cars and everything, he said the temperature of the earth would drop by one, the average temperature would drop by 1 degree Fahrenheit over like 30 years. Did you hear what I said? Not 1 centigrade too. So I said, okay, so what's all the noise we're making? I said it before, I said, these are all exercises in confusion. Listen, you want to know what warms the earth? It's not the fire you cook with, it's the iniquity you commit. If all of us decide that, okay, guys, from now on, chase other men's wives. Listen, the sun was only doubling in intensity. You won't know why. Listen, life is connected. Though. Even Albert Einstein discovered it. He called it the law of relativity. Everything is connected. If you have not studied physics, you will think that things are separate. They are very connected. They are very connected. People's moral lives are directly intertwined with the performance of the ozone layer. I know what I'm saying. Before Haiti suffered this earthquake, you had heard me preach from here before that calamity is their portion. And there are reasons for it. When God said, cursed is the earth because of you, he wasn't angry. He was explaining. Mark my words. This Europe now, everybody's running to. They will run from there. You say I said so. If you must go anywhere, go to America. You know, I've been telling you. Europe is the last place under God that you should go to. There is more hope for India than there is for Europe. Now, global warming. They make, in the midst of global warming, you see global freezing. You know what they say? Then one day I was watching TV, I saw another long explanation of why global warming leads to colder winters. I said, go ahead, confuse me some more. They explained, no, I'm serious. They explained why global warming causes colder winters. I said, wait. At the end of the day, you will see that all of this is caused by homosexuality. I'm serious. You will see that all of this is caused by killing 1 million children every other week. Unborn children. You will see it. You can call it is because we use kerosene. When we stop using kerosene, what do we use? Say we use. They spent the wind energy, global energy. Look, long ago, if I've read stories, and I don't want to bore you with the details. All the events on this earth. Anyway, we're in a spiritual place, so nobody can quote me physics. All right? Because even they say, "What are you saying?" You know what I said? I want to give you what a spiritual lesson. The physical events of this earth are controlled by celestial bodies. It's on record. that the moon determines the time of the earthquakes. I've read scientific articles on it. One man began to predict it. There was one, the earthquake that happened in California. And that was around 1993, 94. All right? One man predicted it. He said he was happy when the earthquake happened, but he was sad because it was an earthquake. But he had been following the trend. So he mapped the movement of the moon. He said when the moon comes close to this level, there will be an earthquake. So he checked the moon. So he was waiting for that Californian earthquake. Why? He's not a believer. He's not a preacher. Just by checking the distance of the moon from the earth. And he said, he began to watch. So that morning, he woke up. He saw the breaking news. He said, I said it. Scientific paper. There was a man who was drawing the outbreaks of diseases with the movement of certain comets. He analyzed, he checked that when there was this outbreak, this particular comet came near the earth. Listen, long ago, I read of one scientist that said, please, let us send nuclear warheads to the moon to blow it up. It's disturbing us too much. Why? Because tidal waves are determined by the movement of the moon. To reconcile unto himself the things on the earth and the things where? In heavens. Say, calamity day everywhere. I'm bringing an issue here. People say, global warming, global warming, global warming. I said, no problem. Who warmed the globe after the ice age? Your grandfather. According to science, there were no human beings there to warm the earth. Yet the earth warmed up. What does that tell you? Listen, forget all this nonsense. It is not the kind of Purunjeje car you are driving that's causing global warming. It's determined by celestial events. Men just don't want to admit it because, listen, these guys need the scare tactics to get the scientists to move into alternative energy apart from oil so as to remove the ability of the Arab world to control the Western nations. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but believe me, what I'm saying is true. In the media everywhere, they suppress the voices of what they call naysayers. There are scientists every day who keep on insisting the earth is not warming because we are cutting trees. Then they'll do full articles on what they call the naysayers. Once they give people a name, you know they are threatened by them. Listen, if I tell you how human beings behave, wickedness and selfishness. One day, my friend told me of the CIA report here that was released in which all these AIDS, they were like American AIDS for AIDS, HIV, in South Africa. You know what started it? They analyzed the cost of gold and platinum and diamond if the South African miners were to die. And the guys are heavily infected with HIV. So say, boys, to stabilize our economies, what do? We go and treat miners in South Africa. You think human beings are kind? Forget it. So when you see all the too much noise on global warming and global cooling, ask yourself. Brothers are saying to themselves, if we don't terrorize everybody, they won't develop alternative energy. So let's scare them. Quote this in spiritual circles. Don't tell a physicist. What I'm telling you is simple. The earth cools and warms because of the movements in the heavens. Let's draw it further into the realm of the spirit. The movements in the heavens are determined by the moral behaviors of men on the earth. What is sin is when we spoil the laws of God and we cause the celestial and the heavenly bodies to move against us because of the commandment which God set in place at the beginning. That's what sin is. Sin is not God vex. Now don't vex me too much, I'll shoot somebody. That's not sin. What is sin? Sin is that I put laws in place. You guys are literally breaking them. They are scattering. Because of the breaking of laws, life is going upside down for you guys. That's what God is saying. He looked at the man and said, cursed is the earth because of you. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So God said, what do we do about that? We must reconcile things on the earth and things where? In the heavens. And listen, Life is spiritual. You know, I keep on saying it. Everything has value. You may not have banks, physical banks for it, nor can we look at it in hands, but everything has value. For example, the most precious thing in the realm of the spirit is life. Life. And the value of your life is tied to the degree. You know, the central bank governor in the heavens, the Federal Reserve chief in the heavens, his name is God Almighty. And that's called the power of righteousness. If he values your life, he puts a value on it. It's called righteousness. The intensity of your righteousness determines the value of your life. That's why, behold the Lamb of God, without spot or blemish, having the ultimate righteousness, having enough financial, you know what I'm saying now, value to pay for the sin of the whole earth. Sin is never written off. It's always paid for. I was watching a man on TV this afternoon before I left. He was saying some things about Jesus Christ, that Jesus didn't have to die to go to the cross to forgive sin. After all, he forgave sin before. He set me meditating this afternoon. Then suddenly I realized the answer. I said, sir, you may be right, but he may have been able to forgive, but he couldn't pay without going to the cross. And any forgiveness that's not ultimately paid for can be turned around. It can be turned around. Listen to me, it can be turned around. One day, a man looked. No, listen to me now. Jesus told a story now. Told the story about one man who was owing plenty to the ruler. All right? And he forgave him. Then he went back, held his co-servant who was holding owing him little by the throat. What did the master do? He unforgave him. Because payment had not been made. Every forgiveness before the time of Jesus Christ was, let me put it like this, was temporary. It was temporary. What I mean by temporary? It was like, okay, there's a promise that somebody will pay. So we believe that person will pay, you can go. Do you get the point? That was why Jesus came and finally did what? He paid. What did he do? He paid. He paid. It's real value. I wish you would understand. That's why the word in the Bible is what? Redemption. I said you should know the word redemption, right? What is redemption? Redemption means to buy back. What disobedience and sin does is to send us into, listen to this, into debt and captivity. We begin to owe in the realm of the spirit. All right? And the taskmaster that holds the right over our lives when we are owing is called the devil. And until payment is made for sin and iniquity, we're in bondage. That's why the Bible talks about him that has the power of death. Let me quickly say something about sin and death. The wages of sin, the Bible says what? Is death. That's why it's in the book of Romans. The wages of sin is what? Death. What is death? The life, the power that brought things to be and sustains everything is called life. Are you getting the point? It's called what? Life. Death is the exact opposite. Any power that starts making things walk upside down is called the power of death. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. What is death, therefore? Death is when we are released into the influence that make things go upside down against the divine order. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Therefore, the wages of sin, because sin is the breaking of divine rules, is what? Death. That is, if you plug your equipment meant for 120 volts into 240 volts, it dies. The wages of going against the law is what? Death. You know what death is? It is not physical falling apart. Global economic meltdown is called death. It is the force of death, are you getting my point, in the financial sector. 8.0 or 9.0, whatever it is, earthquake in Haiti, is called death. It is the force of death on the earth working. The other day, I think somewhere in Asia, it was in Burma, when there was this hurricane. Yes, Myanmar, what they call Myanmar now. They were the fourth largest exporter of rice in the world until that hurricane arrived. And they leveled all the rice paddies. There was no harvest that year. CNN, you know, Calamity News Network, they know how to show that kind of thing. They showed men scooping rice out of mud so that they would see enough to eat. This was the fourth largest exporter of rice. It's called the power of what? Death. The wages of sin is death. When things start going upside down, they say life expectancy in Nigeria is, I think, 57 or something, or 54, something like that. It's called death. Divine order. Young men are supposed to die at the age of 100. That's divine order. It's called death. A young man sees a young woman today, he wants to die if they don't allow him to marry her. He marries her, finished. 1 year after, they turn their house to boxing ring. Tyson versus Holyfield. They fight. After some time, they separate. It's called death. Working in relationships and in marriage. So much now, men don't like to marry again. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, they said they are divorcing. I told somebody, no, they are not divorcing. They were never married. Most people don't know. They have three natural children and three adopted ones. But they were never married. Why? Because death reigned. So men were afraid. It was difficult for them to make a commitment. Listen, Jesus said you can't divorce your wives. Peter said in that case, it's better not to marry. Death! It comes by what? Sin! But the Bible says that because God wanted to reconcile all things to himself, that was why he sent Jesus Christ. I'm introducing our faith basics. What did Jesus come to do? Jesus came, are you getting my point? To pay. I told you that forgiveness of sins is not free. It is called redemption. Redemption means payment must be made. Let me quickly talk about what ails us sometimes, all right? Because I want to close. I'll develop these things further. This is what ails us sometimes. They said that the sins of our fathers, listen to me, if you are in Christ Jesus, they have been paid for. Are you getting my point? You can no longer be bound by them. I need to end with that. Because every day, everybody comes trying to offer you deliverance. Listen to me, you are not bound. Did you hear what I said? You are not bound. Because in Christ Jesus, we have what the Bible calls the forgiveness of sins. We have what the Bible calls redemption. We have been reconciled by his blood. I explained that redemption implies that payment was made. What is that payment? The life of Christ Jesus. Anytime you see the word blood used, it was talking about the release of the life. That's why the other name that's used for it is what? Death. That is, you took life and you took it away. That's called death. Are you getting my point? So when Jesus died, it was not like a man got tired of life. It was, I have so much value, so much precious wealth in my soul. So I took it and paid for all the sins of mankind, including the one that your grandfather committed. It is therefore theological error for a man to look at a believer and say, the sins of your fathers are holding you back. That man has not yet believed. Hear me. I preached this on radio. That was the first time I realized that not everybody loves me. All kinds of text messages were being sent to our phone. Pastor Banky does not know what he's saying. Maybe he should go and preach. He should go and pray that God will reveal it to him. I said, obviously, you know what he's planning to reveal. Yes? Let me say it again. Going around looking for deliverance is a waste of time. There are no witches in the village that holds the progress of a believer back. They don't exist. I need to look, because you know why men don't want to hear the truth? I told you the reason for if the people who are being ministered to is that they don't want to accept responsibility. The second reason is those who are doing the ministration, they don't want to accept that money will stop flowing. Because those deliverance meetings are not cheap. You see a man, a rogue in Alaba Market, carries everybody to his village in Anambra State during Christmas. ₦500,000. It's not cheap. They start praying against the shrine of his great-grandfather. Foolish man. He should have just destroyed the shrine and built a house on it. If he really believed. Yes, the earth is the Lord's, not the devil's. And the fullness thereof. Let me just give an illustration of the power of Christianity. When the Christians, the churches came to Nigeria, when they were looking for where to build, where did they give them? Devil's forests, outcast forests, where they used to bury foreigners. Did the churches grow? They did. Are you getting? This is a forest where the locals said, if you go, you will die. You know the truth? If you went as a local, you would die. But a man came preaching the gospel. He said, it's the only forest we have. They were waiting for the white man to perish. The white man bulldozed it, built hospitals there, built schools there, built everything there, and nothing happened to him. People say it shows there was nothing there. No. Listen, that's the ignorance again on the other side. Listen to me, there was something. What did I say? There was something. It's just that when a stronger power comes, it takes the strong man, binds him, and does what? Spoils his goods. That is, spoil means to take away his goods, not to destroy. It means to take away. What did Jesus come to do? He came to liberate us. Let nobody fool you that a believer, the reason why your business is not doing well, because your school is not doing well, is because in the village. Arrogant nonsense. To those who are under their power, yes, listen to me. I'm not preaching. See, I'm preaching to believers. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying that nothing can happen. Listen, my brethren, something can happen. The fact that you're in America and you don't believe in traditional worship, if you come home, which can kill you, come home first. What I am saying is that if any man be in Christ, he has been transported out of death into life. The payment has been made for all the sins of his ancestors. Payment has been made for all his sins. And therefore, the village devil knows it and can't do anything to him. Why are men in bondage? Because they leave the realm we are speaking of and come down to the realm of the villagers. New Yam Festival, you come and offer your own first yam to the local shrine. You will die too. Are you getting my point? You want to marry. There's a spirit of death that the ancestors really released into the air concerning marriage. You tap into it when you use their laws to pick husband and pick wife. So when they come and say, hey, I'm from Arojuk. We don't marry from Arojuk. I don't know whether it's like that. I'm just giving an example. All right. And you believe it. Once you believe it, you stretch your hand by yourself into the pot of evil that was cooked for unbelievers. And you start eating from it. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. Otherwise, believers are not bound. I said it before, be careful how you make your choices. What did I say? Be careful. If you make choices that's identifying with the deities of your village, then it's called carnal mindedness. And you come under the power of death. That's why I said to be carnally minded is what? Is death. That is, it produces death. I've already defined to you what death is. What have I tried to do today? Let me stop. I want to tell you the history. And I said it's mankind, past, present, and future. I don't know which one did I talk about. I don't even know, sir. But I didn't talk about the future much. I talk mostly about the past. I tried to define what sin is. Why men are in bondage. But what I want to focus on, because I'm talking about Christian basics, faith basics, is that redemption in Christ Jesus. The forgiveness of sins. Listen, Jesus paid for our sins. I'll talk about covenants because some of the problems we have in Christianity is that we have deified the Judaistic covenant. Meanwhile, God said it clearly. He took away the first that he might establish the second. Let me tell you something. When you talk about taking away the first, oh gosh, I wish you understand this. Listen, maybe next time I will try and explain it. You know how your Bible came. What the Bible calls the law and the prophets, and what causes confusion in interpretation in the lives of Christians. There's a difference between the law and the prophets. There's a world of difference. There's a world of difference. The problem with people is that they don't realize that just as much, oh gosh, I wish you get the point. Listen, it was not only the Jews that knew God. I hope you know that. Jethro was not a Jew. For your information, Abraham was not a Jew. He was a Hebrew. There's a word of difference. Hebrew means a nomad. What in modern day we call an Arab. You don't know what I'm saying is true. Balaam was not a Jew. I told you the story before that when the missionaries came to Nigeria, the Babalawos gathered, sent a delegation to the traditional ruler, to their king, that the gods said they are sending messengers and they are supposed to receive them when they come. And when the missionaries arrived, to their shock, the people say, "You are welcome. The people with the word of life. So what do you want us to do?" That's how everybody that has moved towards presidency in Nigeria from the West has come from the same area. That was where the gospel first landed. Life is spiritual, I've told you. What am I saying? Just as God was taking away the Ifa priesthood, so did he take away the Mosaic priesthood. Seeing Christians going around confused. God is a God of the Jews. Listen to me, that's around nonsense. God is the God of Christ Jesus and anyone who believes in him. He said, in him, all the promises, that's prophets, all the promises of God are yes and what? Amen. Only in Christ Jesus. People forget what Jesus said. He said, we have Abraham of our father. That's what the Jews are still saying to you now. And confused American preachers are still trying to tell us. Christians gather in support of the Jews. I said, aren't rubbish. Christians are supposed to gather in support of justice. If the Jew takes land wrongly, he should return it. If the Arab bombs the Jewish house wrongly, they should kill him. God is on nobody's side. God is on the side of Christ Jesus. The Jew needs as much faith in Christ Jesus as his Arab neighbor. Like I say all the time, the major reason why the Arab neighbors have not been saved is because they hear our brethren say to them that the God we are telling you to believe in hates you, he loves the Jew. How? Why should I believe in that kind of joker of a God? I won't believe in him if I was an Arab too. But thank God, that's not the true God. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him. Paul said there is what? No difference. Jew, Gentile, Greek, white, yellow, black, purple, or Obama color, you know. Whatever. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him. There is what? No difference. Listen, what have I said today? Christ is all. Everybody say Christ is all.
Christ is all.
Christ is all. Christ is all. Once you discover Christ Jesus, all other things are added unto you. Have I said anything today?
Yes,
have you learned anything today?
Yes,
I've said so much, but I hope you gain a thing or two.
Yes,